They called him the Diesel.
Crank up that diesel.
He leaned across the table and he goes, "You need to get me back there. I'll make you famous."
And to Riggins, good hole. He's got the first down to the 40. He's gone. The 35, the 30, the 20. He's gone. He's gone.
It's Riggo, the Diesel.
And we're off and running with episode number 37 of Riggo the Diesel, and I am Riggo, a.k.a.
38.
Did I think?
38.
38, thank you.
What is that smell in here?
I don't see any
Stevie,
smoke.
Stevie, what is the smell? Is it that box?
Yeah.
That box in front of Todd. Where did that come
my
from?
My sniffer is blocked up, but I got a little...
Cooley brought a box in here, and it smells.
Man, there's some old stuff in there. It does look like, what do you call them?
Beta.
Sony, huh?
It's
beta. Beta, exactly.
Oh, my God.
How could that...
NFL season blocked punts, anybody?
2000 what?
Two NFL season blocked punts.
All of the blocked punts of 2002 on the...
And then 2002 punts returned for touchdowns.
That's interesting. Too bad you don't have a machine that can play those.
I do in storage.
You have a beta machine?
I got two of them.
You got a reel-to-reel?
And you're paying for storage?
Yeah. For
it's storing for, those items?
Yeah, that's true, John. What's he doing?
What, are they going to make a comeback?
Yeah, I got a free arrangement worked out.
Okay. We'll let you off the hook on that. Anyway, welcome. Glad to have you with us. So, a lot of great things going on here out at the park, right, Larry?
John, to see this rookie class, I don't want to get carried away. Easy for me to get carried away, but it's an impressive group, and I interviewed them all last week for TV, and these guys, that is an impressive group of individuals, really, really well-spoken, thought out, know where they're at, impressed with all of them. And it starts with the quarterback.
Right.
That kid is a big kid, and after seeing him in rookie minicamp, Jay Gruden said the ball explodes out of his hand. So, I mean, you can't teach that kind of arm talent.
Yeah, that's true.
And so he's got a lot of work to do, but there's a lot of optimism, John, right now with the addition of these players here and the addition of the players that they brought in earlier. You know, some of the guys that, like Reuben Foster, who hasn't missed a beat. And it's just, you know, OTA start on Monday where it's the next step. This is continuation of the offseason program, but they've been.
Is it a different level of OTA next Monday?
Yes,
you know?
They can go 11.
So is this
on
phase
11.
Three? Of the OTAs, isn't there three phases?
Yes, I think it's phase.
And this
three.
Is where the coaches can be down.
This is week five. The coaches are there individual. It's the same. It's the same practice, really. No hitting, but no 7-on-7 or 11-on-11. Right now,
but next week can they start doing that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
But you can't hit or anything like that. But you know, it's interesting. You saw what they did in draft. Look, meeting the two guards, for instance, Pierce Baker out of Alabama and Wes Martin out of Indiana. Both these guys are going to compete for that position. Pierce Baker played more games at Alabama than any player in Alabama history.
Really?
Yes. I asked him why. He goes, "Well, I didn't leave early." He says, "You know, they went to a lot of bowl games, and he started every year." But he can play center. He played center last year for Alabama the whole year.
Right.
And so you got a guy there that can play both. And so it seems like that's taking care of a need. The wide receivers look impressive. This guy, Terry McLaurin, is just, he's going to run for president one day. The wide receiver out of Ohio State. Wait till you meet this guy. We got to get you to meet some of these guys. It would be great.
Yeah, well, I was thinking myself, you know, not having seen any of it, but certainly read everything that you're talking about, and certainly when it comes to Dwayne Haskins, just exactly what a splash that he made. Now, he's actually signed his contract. Rookie contract. Is that
yes.
my understanding?
Yes, and it's way above my head, but I guess there's a couple of things you can haggle about. The second and third round guys, your guy Drew might know. He might know. But I guess there's some language you can haggle about, but mostly everything is cut and dry. You're really not negotiating. You're going to take what they give you
right.
by the CBA. And
correct.
So, but Haskins has been here. You know what? It's exciting. We were at an event yesterday. How about this? I'll give you a great story. It was a Leukemia and Lymphoma Society golf tournament. Who I am the honorary chairman, and Kerrigan is our chairman. And we raised $700,000 at that golf tournament yesterday. It breaks all the records. And afterwards, they have the reception where everybody kind of tries to rehydrate.
Sure.
If you know what I mean.
Have to. It was so hot yesterday. You know, it was,
yeah.
It was like 100
that was the worst. It was the worst round of golf, but spirits were high. Spirits were very high. They had a Tito station out there, which helped those spirits remain high.
Tito is the guy from Austin?
Yeah, him.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know what? Bobby Mitchell was there because Bobby Mitchell used to do the Hall of Fame golf tournament.
Right.
And that was for leukemia as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you might have been out.
Oh, yeah. I went to several of Bobby's tournaments.
Yeah, and that's a different deal there because, you know, Jim Brown was there, John Riggins was there, yeah. Bill Russell was there, Oscar Robertson was there. It was like a ridiculous.
Why'd you throw my name in there, Larry?
Because you
did not fit with that group.
So Bobby was there, and Bobby says to me, "How's that quarterback looking?" I said, "Well, you want to find out for yourself? Let me go get him." So I go to get Dwayne, and I said, "Bobby Mitchell wants to meet you." And he's like, "I don't, you know, these young kids nowadays, they're not 100% up on all their history." He knew who he was. But he, you know, I mean, he's going back to the early 60s. This kid's 21 years old. But, man, he came up there, and Bobby talked to him, and just like gave me goosebumps seeing those two guys talk. So that's the kind of crew this team has brought in.
Yeah, I was going to say, and when it comes to Haskins himself, as far as, you know, what his development goes, I mean, I think when he was first drafted, and of course, you know, you get that, the enthusiasm kind of keeps growing a little bit, but when he was drafted, it's like, well, you know, more than likely, at least what the press is saying, is that he'll probably sit for a while, maybe get a chance to play here and there, depending on how everything goes. Well, now you got a question mark over Colt McCoy for a while until he finally gets back out on the field. And, you know, obviously the team decided that they needed somebody in here, and that's the reason Case Keenum is, you know, you got somebody that's solid there. But I'm thinking, because every time he's going to go out on the field, the potential, and everybody's going to see that, I would say the momentum is going to keep picking up to where, you know, and from his standpoint, I'm thinking, as a player coming in as a rookie, I would think that's going to help him a lot. I mean, I don't know exactly where he is, but he's played in a big-time college program, and you know, he was at a private school over in Virginia, over in Maryland, in Potomac there. That I think, you know, he's been around enough to know that it's not going to overwhelm him in any way. And I think that's kind of what you were hinting at when you're talking about all these rookies. They're not in awe, I think, like guys years ago would be. I think sometimes nowadays, when you get to this point, you get drafted, I think there's an air of expectation, good or bad. There's a little bit of an air of expectation. You kind of see yourself in a certain position. And I can see where the momentum that would be, it's not unlike Tiger Woods. People are starting to pull for you, and they give you that, because that's the one thing he doesn't seem to lack is confidence, and that's only going to make it grow. And once, to me, that's the hardest part, you know, is figuring out, and everybody's different about that. It took me 2 years, but this is back in 1971. When I first started, at the time at the end of the 72 season, I went, well, I belong. But it took me 2 years, and I've talked to Chris Cooley about this, and he said basically something along the same lines. Kid like Haskins, he can come in here and feel like he belongs from the very beginning, and if he does, some great things could happen.
I think what it shapes up is a lot of competition, especially at camp in Richmond. I think those preseason games might have an added meaning for Dwayne and the competition he would be in with Case and Colt. We know what Colt can do. Case Keenum is a proven quarterback. You know what you got there. If Haskins can excel in the preseason games, I think that's where, mm-hmm. you know, a couple picks in preseason, and maybe you think a little bit differently. One thing worth noting, they brought a lot of these players they drafted were team captains in their colleges, and that, I think, really stands out to me. There's a lot of leadership. Again, the guys I mentioned earlier, Harmon, the wide receiver out of NC State, very polished kid. All these kids look very polished. So I think that bodes well. I think you're right. Maybe it won't take all these guys 2 years. It usually does. I mean, look at some of the rookies from last year. It took Fabian Moreau a couple of years. I mean, yeah. Everybody, and he looked pretty good last year. Different players mature at different levels, but this looks like a mature group, but they haven't done anything yet, but it looks good on paper, you know?
What I want to add, too, is that the guys you were actually talking about are the draft picks.
Yes, sir.
I got to believe there's other rookies, free agents here.
There's a whole bunch of young guys yeah. with all kinds of ponytails and stuff like that, and There's a lot of size here too. There's a lot of big guys. Talk about big. Montez Sweat. Wait till you see this guy. This guy is imposing as a defensive end. Kerrigan yesterday said, I look at him, I said, he scares me. He's so big.
What's he weigh right now?
He is 6'6", 260.
He is 260.
But he's very
a big
long.
260.
He's very long. And he's got this, you know, long physique. You know, he's being compared to Javon Kearse and Charles
Haley.
That's
a pretty good comparison.
That kind of long athlete who's got a lot of speed, a lot of speed. And so, hey, you want to put pressure on the quarterback, you need a guy like that. Hey, John.
All right.
Helping people improve their lives is what should drive business. That's the belief at Koch Industries, which employs more than 65,000 people across America. The team at Koch works together to meet the world's changing needs in transportation, medical care, water filtration, household goods, energy-efficient building products, and everyday technologies, all while consuming fewer resources. See the innovations firsthand at kochindustries.com, and we thank them.
You know who I am. I'm John Riggins, and I got a question for you. Is your plumbing ship shape? Would it pass the O'Connor Plumbing White Glove Test? You know, a lot of us put crucial decisions off because we know doing the right thing is going to cost us money, right? But a head-in-the-sand approach usually costs more money. Now, O'Connor Plumbing gets it. They're going to help you finance any of your plumbing needs, which is going to take a lot of stress out of your day. Remember, if you play with water, eventually you're going to get soaked. So call O'Connor Plumbing at 1-833-RIGGLE44 and then ask about their special financing options.
Don, when he walked, he had a little bop to him. And besides that, he had the booty out there. They nicknamed him Chocolate Chip.
Storytime with Riggo.
Chocolate Chip. I'm going to change my name legally to Chocolate Chip. I like it. Speaking of Chocolate Chip.
Be a great rapper's name.
Yeah, it would be, actually. But would he have to be white or would he be black?
I don't know. That brings us to your track career.
It does. It does. Well, it brings us to a young athlete down in Texas who turned everybody's head. His name is Matthew Bowling. He's a kid that goes to school at a, I guess it's a private school, Jesuit school in Houston. And they just had, about 3 weeks ago, I guess it was in April sometime, he's a sprinter, track athlete.
Is he ever?
And he actually ran the fastest 100 meters of any kid in high school history. Now, it was wind aided 4 point something, which is, I can't remember what exactly, how many, and usually that's miles per hour. Sometimes they give it to you in meters per hour. But so it was a 9.98 as a high schooler.
Wow.
So it wasn't an official record or anything, but it is the fastest time any high schooler's ever run the 100 meters. And so he comes back, everybody's there to see him perform, and he runs a 10.13, which does illegal 10.13, which I believe breaks the all-time high school 29-year, the record had been held for 29 years, I think it was 21, all right, it was 10.15, is that the old, or 1.4?
Yeah, he was 10.13.
And it was 10.14 was the old one? Or
was that the first one I saw? He did this twice then. So the first one I saw was the 9.9, I think.
Yeah, that was really, like I said, a wind aided. But it got everybody's attention because he was legitimate. I mean, you know, and his nickname is White Lightning because he's a funky white boy.
Yeah,
and,
he
he's running with the brothers and doing a pretty good job of it. But the thing that's interesting about this and what fascinated me, and I read a little bit more, and there's, you know, and this thing grows. I don't know what he's going to do this summer. There's a lot of times there's track meets and all that through the summer, so I'll be curious to see if his notoriety keeps continuing. But he's going to go to the University of Georgia. That's where his school that he's chosen. But what I find fascinating about it is it's a very similar, eerily similar to years ago when I was running track, and the similarities are this: that there's a kid, his name, and I think I may have mentioned his name on here, Terry Householder was his name. He was from Concordia, Kansas. He was a couple classes ahead of me, but at the KU relays, they're all classes run together. Because like you're doing basketball, football, you know, you got your different classes, so that schools with more kids would have an advantage. So
we have A, AA,
exactly,
4A.
That type of thing. So anyway, Terry Householder was basically ran the same exact events this kid did, except for one. I'm not sure, because I know that Matthew Bowling, the kid that we're talking about here, that just set this national record in 100 meters, he runs the 100. He also is a 440 guy. He broad jumps. He won the broad jump at the state meet. But now it gets, I'm not sure if he runs the 200, I would think, but it didn't see anything about the 200 or his time. It didn't say anything about the 400. But he is, up until last year, this year, he was predominantly, his coach, you know, everybody thought he was a 400 guy. He ran the 400. Well, I don't know how much you know about track in general, but to me, I've always thought that the 400 years ago, it's not that way anymore, it's the half mile, the 800, I should say, is the race, I think, that most track guys, sprinters, quarter milers, what do you want to call them, half milers, milers, the 800 is probably the most demanding race now in track, because it is literally, instead of one lap pretty
sprint.
Much all
it's
out.
It's a two-lap sprint.
It's two laps. Exactly. Yeah. It's a two-lap sprint.
It used to be called an intermediate race, right? Didn't they say it was an intermediate distance?
Right. So, but where I was going with this is that this kid, Terry Householder, he ran the 100, he ran the 200, he ran the 400, and he anchored the mile relay, which was, you know, which was also, back in those days, a 440. You go back between yards and meters. But what I never understood, and this is what this kid's coach, and I don't recall his name there at the school he goes to in Houston, talked about Matthew Bowling is, and it's so true. I mean, I know this from reading books about it. Everybody hits their peak speed pretty much at about 60 yards, 60 meters, whatever the race may be. That's as fast as you're going to go. From then on, it's how quick or how much you can maintain that top speed. This is what this kid is just, I mean, it's astonishing what he's able
to
do.
Does he get to the high speed faster, or he holds it longer?
He seems to, I don't know exactly his stats. I don't know, you know, how tall he is, how much he weighs. I haven't seen any of that stuff. But he seems to get out of the blocks pretty well. And Usain Bolt, for a guy that's, I think, 6'4", 6'5", he seems to get out of the blocks. You'd think a long-legged guy would take a while, but Bolt seems to get out of the blocks pretty well, considering his size. But what you really notice is when you get to that part, last part of the race, and this is what his coach says, is that he doesn't lose his speed as quickly as the other runners. He is such a strong runner that he almost maintains that speed that he hits at 60 meters. And this is what I had to learn the hard way. But obviously, if you're going to run the quarter mile, you're going to anchor the mile relay, or I should say the 4x4 relay. You have to do a lot of work, and you have to be in hellish good shape. I mean, to the point where it's hard to fathom, because most of the time you're working off of, you've got lactic acid building up, and to a certain extent, it's anaerobic muscles that you're using. You're not using aerobic muscles. That's more distance stuff. So
right.
You have to really train that. Me, I used to go to the track, and I'd take starts. I remember I ran some 200s one day at track, and it felt like they were driving spikes into my butt cheeks. And I went, this ain't no fun. I'm done with this stuff. So I would just take about 10 or 15 starts every day. That was my, run for about 30 or 40
yards. So that was your training?
Yeah, but I'm telling you couldn't beat me out of the blocks. I really, seriously. But here's where this tale, has a sad ending. So I go to the KU relays, and I'm up against Terry Householder, so I'm kind of walking around like, you guys don't know what the big guy here's got going on. I got what it takes to do this. It's 100 yards. What the hell? I've been doing this, my whole life. So I get in the blocks. Now, unknowns to me, I did know Terry Householder ran, the quarter. He did all this running. So I couldn't really appreciate what I was sitting next to in the lane. We get out there. Sure enough, I take off. I got everybody, they're drafting me because I'm out ahead of everybody. And we get to about 60 yards. I'm hitting my peak speed. And all of a sudden, that feeling that you never want to have as a sprinter at that point in the race, you feel somebody coming up from behind. And I realized, Larry, I had nothing left. In fact, if I'd have tried harder, which is you don't want to do, you want to be as relaxed as you can.
Right.
I would have probably just got completely, maybe have exploded. I don't know, but
you got locked up like an engine with no oil.
Exactly, and went face down on the track, and just got completely out of sync. But I did the right thing. I basically cut the engines because I said, there ain't no way I can beat this cat. And I probably could have got maybe a second or a third place.
Did you fake the hemi?
I could have faked the hemi. Listen.
It's a cramp.
I could go there with you, but here's the point. When you're in that kind of shock, you don't think about faking a hemi. There's just no way. So that's what this kid has. He has an ability to hang on to the race, and I think it's unique. Now, having said all this, how many high schoolers have there been that have had these great track careers in high school and they never hear from
young,
them?
But
clearly this guy's somebody to keep an eye on.
You imagine, you say about the 800, but there's something about the term world's fastest human.
True.
There's something about that. You say he's the world's fastest human. That goes back to Bob Hayes when I remember. That's the first guy I remember being the world's fastest human. And there was a Russian guy. What the heck was
Valery Borzov.
Valerie
Borzov.
Bramel.
No. Oh, there might have been another one. Yeah, you're right. There was somebody named. But Borzov was the guy that won the 72.
Could you check that 76. Out? Who was Bob Hayes's rival?
It wasn't Borzov.
Valerie Bramel, I think. Brunel or something like that. Anyway, you have him as the world's fastest, and you know Usain Bolt has that now, and he didn't even have to until somebody wins the Olympics or somebody breaks a record. He is known as the world's fastest human. Now you got, you know, I guess that beats the world's fattest man.
By quite a bit. My slowest. But then again, if you're into fat, who's to say?
You know, but the world's, doesn't that sound great? Isn't that just a great thing to be known as that?
And I've always felt like, you know, in my lifetime, in my mind, Bob Hayes has got it branded into my brain that he is the world's fastest human and always will be. And there's a lot of talk, now that we're talking about that, a lot of talk about him, and if he was running today with all the things that they've learned about track and so on and so forth, him and Usain Bolt, what kind of a race would they have? I would say it'd be pretty interesting. Well,
Bob
very interesting.
Bob Hayes could play football too, which was
His deal. He was
that was unbelievable. Hey, John, the Times the Money family of scratchers from the Virginia Lottery offers a game at every price point and over $345 million in cash prizes and the whole family. All kinds of multipliers, John. If you find 100 times symbol and 100 times the money, you might multiply your prize by guess what? 100 times. How easy is that to be a zillionaire? Consider what multiplying the good things in life would mean to you. Now think about money multiplied. That's what the Times the Money family means. Find the games at your local lottery retailer today.
Have you heard about Creighton Farms, the private club community that's home to the Redskins? Creighton Farms is just 20 minutes from Dulles, but a world away. On top of its award-winning Jack Nicklaus signature golf course, pools, tennis courts, and other resort-style amenities, you'll find custom homes and villas that are simply extraordinary, starting at $1.5 million. For property and legal information, visit CreightonFarms.com. Or, better yet, visit Creighton Farms.
If you have atrial fibrillation, you know it can be difficult to treat successfully. Innova Heart and Vascular Institute in Fairfax is a leader in AFib treatment using specialized technology and expertise. This helps to more precisely target and treat rhythm irregularities that others could miss, helping to restore your heartbeat to normal. Give your heart the benefit of care. Visit innovaheart.org/AFib to learn more and to find an Innova physician. Innova. Join the future of health.
Who sat here? Your student? A peer? Your best friend? What did they grow up to be? A scientist? A nurse? An entertainer? Did you know it back then that they were made to stand out? Celebrate the extraordinary people made in Virginia public schools. Nominate a public school graduate for the Virginia Lottery's Made in Virginia Award. Details at madeinvirginia.com. Deadline October 12th. The Virginia Lottery. $9 billion to education. 30 years of fun.
Gearing up for game day? Your local Safeway has everything you need for the perfect tailgating or homegating party. Pick up all your favorites like wings, chips and dips, brats, burgers, beverages, and pizza. Stop by the deli to pick up fresh fried chicken or the produce department for a variety of party trays. Head on over to your local Safeway and pick up everyone's favorites. Safeway, the official supermarket of the Washington Redskins.
Ladies and gentlemen, stand back and watch the Phoenix rise from the ashes.
Stand back. It's Riggo the Diesel.
That's right. Stand back. You know, there's a great clip talking about Bob Hayes that you have to see. He catches a pass. They're playing the New York Giants. There also happened to be, in the same Olympics, a guy from Arizona, I believe it was. His name is Henry Carr. Does that name ring a bell with you?
Henry
Carr turned out to be, he played for the Giants. He was a cornerback. He was a cornerback.
Remember the name.
And I'll never forget this. Bob Hayes catches probably about on the Dallas 40, I'm going to guess. Maybe it was midfield, 50-yard line. He catches a little pass from, I'm going to guess it probably was Don Meredith. I don't know if it was a slant in or whatever. And Henry Carr was defending him. And now it's like the, the dogs in the hare or the fight. Bob takes off. Henry Carr is in hot pursuit. Now, Henry Carr, I don't know if I said this, he won the 200 meters at the 60 Rome Olympics, if I'm not mistaken.
Henry Carr did?
Henry Carr did, yeah. So he's in hot pursuit of Bob Hayes, who won the 100 meters at the 60 Olympics. Oh, 64, I'm sorry, not 60, 64. And it was the damnedest thing. You see this. They are dead heat. Larry going down the football field. Carr can't gain on Hayes. Hayes can't pull away from Carr. Obviously, Hayes ends up scoring a touchdown. But I'll never forget that.
That was the best foot race you ever seen on a football field.
Yes, exactly. Well, we had a 200-meter gold, 200-meter Olympic champion chasing a 100-meter Olympic champion. It's got to be one to me anyway, because like I said, I love track. So it was.
So what year was Bob Hayes in the Olympics?
64.
64 in Tokyo.
In Tokyo, that's correct.
So in that Olympics, he won the 100-meter dash,
mm-hmm. and he anchored the 4x100.
And the 4x100, if I recall correctly. He was the final leg, right? Whatever you call the guy who gets the last.
Yeah, he's the anchor.
He's the anchor. He gets the baton 20 yards behind the other guy. And he picks up and he wins by 10. It was the most incredible display of speed ever.
Yeah, it was very impressive. Speaking of that, this kid Matthew Bowling that we were just talking about, the Texas, the prepster that has just set the 100-meter record, high school record for 10.13 at the Texas State meet. It was the anchor for their 4x400 relay. He gets the baton 30 meters behind.
And he makes it up on the turn, too, right?
So this guy's got to run, when he gets the baton, he's got to run 400 meters. His guy ahead of him, he's only got to run 370. He ends up beating this guy by almost 5 yards. Yeah. I mean, once again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier about once he hits his speed, he doesn't slow down. He can maintain that speed. It's pretty impressive. All right, let's change directions completely. And I got a question for you, Larry.
Yeah,
you've
yeah.
maybe had time to think about
Hopefully
it.
Hopefully this is something more to my level.
In your wheelhouse.
The slowest people on earth over here, okay? See, I'm talking to a guy that's very slow.
Exactly. I appreciate that. You didn't seem like you were getting bored, but I could see if I kept...
I'm a big fan of all that stuff, but I just
can't
participate.
But you'd... But you're right.
Participate.
I think you would love to be called the world's fastest human.
Bob Hayes, I'm with you. He's always going to be the world's fastest human, and Darryl Green's going to be the NFL's fastest man.
Yeah, I could see that
forever.
Too.
Forever.
Wait a second, that can't be true.
Now your next
Bob Hayes is the fastest human. He played in the NFL.
Yeah, I know.
That would have been a good race.
I know. Now Darryl, Darryl will tell you.
He won a Super Bowl and a gold medal.
Really?
Bob
Hayes.
That's right. The Giants didn't.
Lucille Hestry, downtown, a big supporter of the Redskins, founded this Pigskin Club, and I emcee their events every year. She's a big, big civil person downtown. I say civil, I mean she has taken care of a lot of kids, and Bruce knows her very well. Her brother was Bob Hayes. I was at the Pigskin Club last year, and she said, my brother, I was doing a speech or something, and she said, my brother's faster than you. I said, well, who's your brother? She goes, Bob Hayes. I said, well... Yeah, he's pretty fast. He's faster than me. So it was her brother. She grew up down in, I think it was Gainesville, Florida, someplace
right,
in Florida, Tallahassee,
Florida.
Somewhere in Florida. And she moved up here, and it was very, very interesting. But your topic on the rundown, John, is much more to my liking now as opposed to speed, because I don't have any of that. In my car, I can go fast, but.
And that would be Bob's sister. If she told that to anybody, she would obviously know that, I mean, he is the world's fastest. So it's kind of one of those, I guess it's an inside joke because you're right, lady. He's faster than anybody.
She was bragging, and I was impressed.
Okay.
I was impressed.
If you had to choose, Larry, in your household, what would your two favorite tools be?
Favorite
tools.
Or needed.
Now, there's a lot of... Well, which ones would you find that you would not be able to get along without?
Well,
if somebody took something away from you. I've got a lot of stuff in my house
because
I'm that guy.
Me and you both.
And I've got a lot of things to pick from. And the only reason I bring this up is 2 nights ago I'm sitting there and I got to thinking about it and I realized, I think it'd have to be these. But then if I stretch it a little bit, I go, those would probably
Yard tools included?
Yeah, and you know what? You almost have to come up with different categories, but I would just say out of the blocks, if there was...
Yard tools for me.
Let's just say in a week's time.
Okay, so yard tools for me, I probably have two favorites. One is you cut branches with them. I guess they're like...
Loppers?
Like cable cutters, but super sharp, and they got good leverage on there. So I can cut through...
Branches and all that stuff.
I can cut through a big ass branch, man. I can with
pruning, you got pruning shears.
Yeah, yeah, but it's the kind that you got these big handles, and you know, you're coming down like a. Yeah, and those things you can. I mean, you got to work it a little bit. Then, of course, my blower.
You could dehorn cattle with those things. You could. Probably.
And my blower, there's nothing more functional than a blower. You've got a
true.
Good high power.
Everybody
blower.
Knows about a blower.
Yeah, I mean, beats a broom any day. I mean, a broom you can do with the blower. Would it take you 2 days to do with the broom? You can do in 5 minutes. Now, recently, a box cutter. I know that's not really a tool.
Yeah, it is.
But
sure it is.
I got a great box cutter, and my wife has been ordering stuff 10 things at a time from Amazon. My house is like a FedEx office with boxes.
It's like a weigh station. They bring stuff in.
And you know what she does? She opens the boxes, she takes what's out, and she throws the box outside. So I got a stack of boxes that don't fit in the...
She doesn't break the boxes down?
No, she doesn't break the boxes down.
My wife does the same thing. Same thing here.
It pisses me off.
Because you probably take the trash out, right?
I do. And I got recycling. I'm trying to do the right thing. And you know, I can't just... I can't crush the boxes because they take up too much
exactly.
room.
It's like throwing a ball on
you
got to
take
paper.
That box cutter and cut that piece of tape that's on the bottom of that box on both sides. Open that thing, break it down. And you can stick 20 of those in my recycling bin. You can only stick two if you don't break them down. So box cutter to me.
Would be right in there.
Big, and a Phillips screwdriver.
And
Phillips,
a what?
Phillips head screwdriver.
You have a lot of screws coming loose?
Yeah, a few. But you know what's I keep on losing my Phillips head screwdrivers. I think my son keeps taking them to his apartment. He must have a hell of a stash
of all your Phillips screwdrivers.
Yes, and I've got like five different toolkits. I mean, I've gotten these tools. I got the Craftsman, everything. I've got so many toolkits in my garage. I could start a car repair place. But maybe one Phillips screwdriver out of all that stuff.
So,
you know, don't use saws much nowadays. I used to saw stuff a lot, but I haven't used a saw in a long time.
You know, here's what I dawned on me the other day when I was thinking about this very topic, was I was thinking about, you know, I do all the cooking, and I realized I've got a stove, and, you know, you got to love the name of it. It's called the Grizzly. That's really basically why I bought this thing. I mean, how could you go wrong? It's a Grizzly. It's made by a company called Montague out in California, I think out around San Francisco. And this thing's got, I think the oven's got about 40 or 50,000 BTUs it's capable of. Each burner with natural gas, I think, is 20,000 BTUs. But with propane, which is what I'm on now, I had to change the orifices. It's, I think, 18,000. But, I mean, it's a professional.
It's Orify.
Yeah, exactly. And then
is it orifices or Orify?
Orifices.
Sorry.
Yeah. orifices. They're the things that actually the gas goes through, and
that's
depending
the hole,
on what
that's
kind
the
of,
that's the conduit, if you will. The yeah.
The orifice.
The orifice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. But you know,
why would it be
I could
called
be ahead
an
of
orifice?
Myself. Huh?
Why is it?
Yeah.
It's an opening.
It's an opening okay. for the gas to pass through.
All right. Why can't they just call it the opening?
Because it doesn't sound technical, Larry. I mean, you got to have some JP5 in here.
Orifice to me.
So that would be my be the one thing I could not get along without would be the Grizzly, and then also my Trawson refrigerator, which I've had them both for about 20 some years.
Tools aren't tools, but you're talking about appliances.
Well, they are tools.
You got top of the line appliances.
Okay,
so you believe in purchasing top of the line appliances?
I do everything that way if I can. If I can't get what I want, and I usually, you know, my wife says, you know, well, you know, you wait till the last minute to buy everything because you got to keep looking and looking. I'm a maximizer. That's what they call people that study and make, you know, somebody, my wife, she just goes out and, hey, give me that, and I'll take it home. Maybe take me 6 months to buy that. But I would say my chainsaw, but I don't use it enough anymore. But I've always been a big aficionado. And then I got a table saw downstairs, a Powermatic, made in, it's a 10-inch table saw. And I really love the Powermatic. So I got, you said you don't use saws too much. Then I got my Snap-on tools, which... Nowadays, you talk about all the tools you got, your Craftsman. We can't even work on cars anymore, Larry.
I can't work on my car. You took on a Range Rover? Are you kidding me?
That's what I'm saying.
I would have no clue where to start. Well, I could maybe take a tire off.
Yeah,
I could probably change the tire.
I'm talking about, though, nowadays where you actually, I think that they have apps. You can get it. You can plug it in. You can figure out what's wrong with your car, but do you think you can fix it? I don't think so. There's no room under the hood anymore.
I wouldn't try to make it worse, John. I'd be worried I'd make it. I used to change my own oil. I haven't done that in years.
I changed the oil in the 500 2 weeks ago, and it was not easy. I had oil all over the floor in the garage. It was like a mess.
Really? You didn't put a little paper down? You had that lug nut, that nut down there. You broke that nut, and it came out, and it's just all over the ground and everything.
Trick. It's not easy.
We should continue this next week. This should be the start of next week's show.
Okay.
I could talk about this stuff for 2 hours.
All right. Well, we'll try it. So we'll see you next week, I hope. All right.
It's a deal.
Thank you for joining us.